This is Unsocial Spectators with Clay Harrison and Mark Ramsey.
And you can find us at unsocialspectators.com and also at Unspectators on Twitter. All right, welcome to episode 23 of Unsocial Spectators. Today, I want to talk about your weirdest movies you've ever seen.
Oh, shit. Well, perfect timing. Because Joe Bob did two movies last night that I had a hard time describing to the guys on my other podcast because they're not so much into the weird. But let's dig in. We watched two films that he did for The Last Drive-In. One was called The Baby from the 70s. Have you seen The Baby?
No, not yet. AMC Plus is, the app is so screwed up. I tried to play it and it played some Peter Cushing movie. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Fuck. So,
yeah, their app is terrible, but
oh man,
I think I can watch it through the Joe Bob version. So we'll see.
Yeah, watch it with that because he gives you a lot of cool info about it and stuff.
Oh, okay.
It's very interesting.
Yeah,
I won't give you any spoilers on these two because fucked up. I know you'll love them.
That's fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I don't give a shit. I like spoilers.
Okay. Well, The Baby is a movie about a woman who goes to a job interview to be a babysitter at this family's house to discover that she will be babysitting a grown man who acts like a baby. You think he's acting, but no, he really is. They've done something to him, and he is like an infant.
Huh. So, he likes comic book movies.
No, he wears a diaper as an adult.
They dress him. He's a Republican.
Oh man, it's so fucked up. So this woman is going to be the babysitter, and then she's trying to kind of come to terms with this. So this family has like a mom and a sister, and it's just so weird to wrap your mind around this adult person who is stuck in this infant stage. I mean, it's bothersome because he's really good at it. And when they have him at times like struggle or fight, they play like baby noises to pull you in even more. So it's just as fucking creepy. And then they have a birthday party for the baby, which is pretty much like, have you ever been to a birthday party from one of your friends who just had a kid? And it's like their first birthday and they go all out. That's what this party was. This was a party for adults called a one-year-old party. It's just so unsettling and creepy. But then, like, you see the sister come into the baby's room, and the baby has a giant crib because, you know, he's a man, and it has like a swinging door that opens to get into the crib. And you see her nightie fall by the bedside as she crawls into the crib with the baby. Yeah, that's just one of the many unsettling scenes, but I'm not going to tell you how it ends because that really is the gem of this film. And what's great though is Shelby and I had seen it before, so we got to live tweet with people who had never seen it, and you could just tell people were like dropping off because someone would be like, "This is just too much. This is too much for me," and just abandon it. And it was. And the only thing I could say that was awesome was double awesome about it was seeing the next movie, which was called Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker, and it is it had a different title that still didn't mean jack shit, but it is do you remember Christy McNichol?
Yeah,
it's her brother Peter McNichol. He's the let me properly credit everyone in this film. Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker was also called Night Warning. It came out in 1981. So this could be my 1981. Actually, I'm sorry. Her brother is Jimmy McNichol. He was like one of those big kid teen stars and Tiger Beat and everything. But his girlfriend in the movie is Julia Duffy. Do you remember her?
I believe so.
She was on Newhart. She was the yeah. She was the very uppity New Englander that lived there.
Yeah.
And she's in it, and she's topless. She's like a teenager and stuff. And so she's supposed to be into this dude, Peter McNichol. But
in the show, was she married to Peter Sklory?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And Bill Paxton plays the school bully.
Oh, I mean,
that's how. And then the local cop is Bo Svenson. Do you remember that name?
No.
If you saw him, you would recognize him because he played like he was the sheriff in Walking Tall, like the first two movies.
Oh, yeah.
He played like a big tough guy, big blonde dude. And then the role of his mother is played by Susan Tyrell. She is the queen of this movie, dude. She is fucking insane. So Peter McNichol, or Jimmy McNichol, I'm sorry, I keep messing his name up. Jimmy McNichol is being raised by his aunt, who later turns out to be his mom. And she is trying to suppress him from dating Julia Duffy, from doing anything, because she's very into him.
Okay.
And she's been drugging him with milk so that he could never get like aroused around women.
Huh?
And she would just like, she would hold him in her lap. Like there's a scene that's so unsettling where he's all drugged up and everything. And she's kind of doing the confession of like, I'm really your mother. And so is your father. And then she just kind of licks his face like a tongue bath. And it is so gross.
Wow.
Oh, and again, watching it live with all the people on Twitter who had never seen it or who were experiencing it like me for the first time, was just great to see some reactions of what people were writing. Is fucked up. It is weird. It is, again, I've seen like a ton of weird shit, but those were the most recent ones. And I highly recommend both because they're that weird.
Yeah, I'll check them out. Have you seen City of Lost Children?
Oh, is that Ron Perlman?
Uh-huh.
Yes. It's been a long time, though.
Yeah, really weird film, man.
Yeah.
One of the weirdest. And Delicatessen?
Oh, is that the cannibal movie?
Yeah, the French film. Yeah.
Yeah. That came out in the 80s, right?
90s, yeah. 90s, sometime in the 90s, I think, or the late 80s. I saw it at Art House at the Inwood, you know. That's the same director as City of Lost Children. So, what are some of your favorite weird films?
Well, let me give you one I want to put a warning on. Because this one is my breaking point. This is one that I got to see with a group of people, and I wish I had never seen it.
Uh-oh.
It's called a Serbian film.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen this?
I've heard about it.
It is the most disturbing film. This is one of those that you go, like, I've seen bad movies and I go, how do you get people together to make a bad movie? And like, you don't know it's bad when you're making it. This movie, every piece of it is disturbing and horrifying. And it still sticks in my mind. And I warn people to not see it. Like Shelby said, she got a copy in at Half Price Books. And I said, I believe in free speech, but I don't think people should be allowed to get this movie.
Wow.
Actually, there's a for people who have never seen it, it is a film about a porn star who is in retirement, who is offered an absurd amount of money to do one last porn movie. And all he's told is, come here to, wherever they're shooting. It's going to be kind of a weird experience because they're just going to film. They'll constantly be filming him, And the movie starts off with a porn. There are these people fucking, but then the camera starts to pull back and you realize, oh, you're watching like a videotape of porn. And then it pulls back and it shows a child watching the porn. And you're like, oh, what the fuck? And then you see the dad come in who's the star, and that's his porn. So this kid has found his dad's porn that he stars in and is watching this, and he's like, oh no, you shouldn't see this, and tries to shut it down. Then he has to convince his wife that, yeah, I'm gonna leave and go do this. This is the last job, the last thing I'm ever gonna do, it'll help us, we'll be good. He goes to go do the porn. And they drug him with this drug that's like super Viagra. Like, it makes him angry fuck. Like, he's got to fuck no matter what.
Like Hulk fuck.
Yeah, like Hulk fuck. Like, he's got to go crazy insane. And so, at one point, like, he kind of figures out that they've given him this drug. Oh, God. I'm going to get into some really unsettling shit here. All right, so
talking about weird movies.
He gives the drug to this woman. I can't remember if they both are drugged or if he gives the drug to her. And so he sees how she reacts. That she is so incredibly horny. She takes like a lead pipe and uses it to masturbate to death.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they have a scene where they set it up like, okay, now we're going to do the porn. We're going to have this whole scene. And they have him with a woman and they're in the doggy style position and he's on the drug. Someone comes in. I can't remember this one exactly. I'm sure I blocked it out and cuts the woman's head off while they're having sex. And he's so much on the drug, he has to finish. So he continues having sex with the dead body.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. It just goes on and it's, God, there's like five more things I really don't want to talk about publicly on here. I know no one listens to this, but this would be one they go, what's wrong with this guy?
It's look, so my cousin Morton is listening to this and he's a weirdo too.
But like, I don't want people to see this. Like I'm telling these stories to disturb you to not watch it.
Yeah.
And then there are like five more parts of the movie that I can't tell you because it's so disturbing. But if you want to look up the parts, I'm going to give you one of the big parts you never want to see because this haunts me to this day.
Okay.
The movie was banned in England.
Uh-huh.
And they said England actually was let it release. They said you had to cut 2.5 minutes out of the film. This 2.5 minutes is the most disturbing thing in film I have ever seen. Ever. And I'll tell you after the show what it is.
Oh, but okay.
Yeah, it is the most disturbing thing I have ever seen, and the film basically ends with the guy coming home, grabbing his, he gets his family together. In the filming of this, his entire family is traumatized because they're brought into it. So there's that element.
Uh-huh.
He puts them all in a bed together and uses a gun to shoot all of them at the same time to end it. As they pull back, you realize the guy's still filming him. And that's the end of the movie.
Whoa, that's weird.
It's the most fucked up thing I've ever seen. It sticks with me. It's not, there's no eye bleach or brainwash that gets it out of your head. It's very fucked up. I watched it with Devin, Crystal, Joe, and he moved to El Paso. Fuck, I can't remember this buddy of mine's name. There was like a handful of us. And so we were like just goofing during it.
Yeah.
But it gets so disturbing. Everyone would just get quiet because they're, even the comedy wouldn't lighten the mood of what was happening in the film.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's so fucked up. What about you?
The Holy Mountain.
All of those guys. That's Jodorowsky?
Yeah.
I can't say his name. Yeah, that's a wild one.
Yeah.
You showed me the trailer for that. I don't think I've seen the whole thing yet.
Yeah, he also did Santa Sangre, which is fucked up as well. Mm-hmm. In Santa Sangre, he does cocaine with mentally retarded people.
What?
Yeah, they take them, these mentally retarded kids, and give them coke. It's, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's fucked up, man.
Fuck.
Yeah. Eraserhead?
Eraserhead's fucked up. I think Kids, the movie Kids from the 90s is fucked up. I mean, it's a general story, but I mean, the underlying AIDS thing that's going on and the fact that, I mean, you're seeing like Chloe Sevigny, I can't say her name properly, and Rosario Dawson, like, I think they're like just coming into film and are either in their teens or early 20s at the point they're filming that, and it's fucked up.
Have you seen the Japanese film House?
No.
That's pretty fucked up, man.
Yeah.
Pretty fucked up. I mean,
Old Boy is one of my favorites, and it's very fucked up. That's probably the most fucked up movie I highly recommend to people because it's the best revenge film of all time.
The original or the remake?
The original. The remake I'm having to watch because I lost a bet. That's how bad the remake. But I mean, I love it so much. I collected the manga because I wanted to read the original story, and the film adapts it better than the manga. The manga is only like, which, you know, most Japanese manga like goes on for like tons of volumes. This is like 8 collected issues, and it's perfect. I mean, it just tells the story of a guy who has been locked into a prison for 15 years, gets out and tries to figure out who did it to him and why. And in the film, it takes a darker edge than the comic. In the comic, do you want me to, have you seen Old Boy?
No, not yet.
Okay, then I don't want to spoil the ending because it has one of the best endings, and it should be pretty fucking disturbing.
Yeah, I'll check that out. Have you seen Phantom of the Paradise?
Yes. Yes.
Weird as hell. Just crazy film.
I think that was, I think Joe Bob did that one too. That's another one I think had been on Shudder for a while.
Yeah, that Brian De Palma directed it, I believe. And have you ever seen Freaks?
The Todd Browning 1927 film? Yeah. One of Us. One of Us.
Great movie. You have any
drum,
else?
Have you seen that? Yeah, have you seen The Tin Drum? I've talked about this one before. It was
not yet.
So, and this is what I can remember when I was a kid because it was so fucked up. So this guy, it's during wartime, and this guy, the concept of the story is, because the world has gone to shit, this guy has repressed himself to be a child. So it is portrayed by a child. You see this child who is supposed to be a man, but he's living his life that way. And like, he does all sorts of stuff. Like, I mean, there's a scene where he eats, I want to say it's like Kool-Aid or something out of a girl's belly button, but it looks like it's simulated sex. And he's like maybe 10.
Oh, it's
really fucking weird. This used to run on cable. I saw this as a child on cable during daytime, you know.
Jesus. Like that's,
yeah, I mean, it just, he's living life with all the adult problems, but as a child, because he's just doesn't want to grow up. And that's, I don't know. It's French. It's weird.
Yeah, a lot of French movies are pretty weird, man.
I think A Clockwork Orange falls into that category too.
Yeah, I saw a French film yesterday called The Weekend.
What's it about?
You got me, man.
Yeah.
I mean, 1967, the first half of the movie is people stuck in traffic.
What?
And this traffic jam, and they're just driving past all these people, and it's crazy. And in the movie, they keep saying shit like, "Oh, are you real or are you part of this film?" They're asking people when they're walking. I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah, and it's philosophy and political views, and
so they're commenting on
anti-colonialism and really fucked up. But yeah, French films, including Delicatessen and City of Lost Children, just fucked up. Some of them are really fucked up.
I don't know why I get Delicatessen and Eating Raoul confused, but I guess they're both about cannibalism. So.
Eating Raoul is fucked up, but it's pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the cast makes that one fun.
Yeah. A Videodrome.
Yeah, I would go with, as far as like Cronenberg, I love Videodrome, but I might put Existenz above it.
Speaking of Cronenberg, this week I talk about one of his films from 81, but I also saw Crimes of the Future in the theater. His new film, which is a remake of Crimes of the Future from 1970.
Wow.
It's really good, man. I gave it 4.5 stars.
What's wild and insane is Cronenberg was doing some early movies, and that's how Ivan Reitman got his start, was producing Cronenberg. And so he left, I think it was Shivers, to go do Animal House. Like, if he had kind of, Cronenberg kind of like elevated Ivan Reitman to go do that and then do Caddyshack and Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's crazy. But the new film he made is really good. And it's funny because she was okay in the Princess Diana movie, what's her name?
Kristen Stewart.
She is fucking fantastic in this movie.
She's good.
She's really become an amazing actress, you know?
There was this movie called, I think it was called Underwater, I saw on HBO that she was in. It was this action flick that she was fucking a home run in.
Yeah, but this new Cronenberg is pretty spectacular, you know. The only reason I didn't give it 5 stars is it could have been longer. You know? Really? Yeah, one of these rare movies where you wish it was longer, not like the Batman or something like that, you know, where it's 18 hours long. But it was really, really fucking good, man.
Oh, see, because that makes me, there was a, oh my God. Trying to find this movie from Canada. Okay, here it is. Yeah, because this had David Cronenberg in it. It's called Last Night. It's a Don McKellar movie. He's a Canadian director and actor. It's got Sandra Oh in it. Have you seen it?
No, but I love, what's the name of it? Last
Night.
Don McKellar, I think he was in the movie, one of my favorite movies, Highway 61.
Yeah. 1991. Yeah, he is in that. Yeah. Pokey Jones.
Great road film.
Oh, really?
So they have this one scene where the girl. She's a great actress too, and they go and hang out and have dinner with her friend who she used to tour with, who is a metal guy, I guess, kind of like a Ozzy Osbourne type, and his crazy wife who was on drugs, and for dinner. They hunt for a chicken in the house. They all have guns and they go around the house trying to kill the chicken for dinner.
What the fuck?
And then Pokey Jones, he's a barber, and these motorcycle guys pull up to him and ask for him to shave a Hitler mustache on the lead guy, and then they he hitches a ride to New Orleans with the motorcycle guys, and in the movie there's this guy who thinks he's a devil, and he gets people to sign in blood, you know, their soul. And there's one scene where there's this man who has these daughters who are like a singing group. And he travels across the country with them. And he stole them from their mother, you know. And yeah. The devil comes up to her and says, do you want to be famous? One of the girls. And he says, you can't be famous because you're ugly. You're an ugly little girl. I mean, it's just crazy.
Fuck.
And he makes his, the devil makes his money by stopping at bingo games along the way. And he,
money from old women.
And he can win every bingo game. It's like he puts all these cards out. He doesn't even look at the numbers. And the letters, he just pop, 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 pop. He just knows what's going to win ahead of time. A great film, man. Great film.
Don McKellar, like that Last Night movie fucked me up because it was an end of the world movie with real people. Like it wasn't like some, you know, 2012, like apocalyptic. It was like, I forget why they knew. I don't even think they explained. It's almost like I think maybe the sun's going to explode or some shit. But the world's coming to an end, and it follows different people dealing with it different ways. But Cronenberg is a guy. So Don McKellar is a guy who works like, I think at like an insurance company.
Uh-huh.
He's still working on the last day of Earth. Like he shows up to work and is doing these like cold calls or some shit. There's nobody in the office except for Cronenberg and I think his secretary. And I think the secretary is the only one showing emotion because she's like crying at her desk for, you know, like she, and then eventually she like runs out and leaves.
Wow.
But Cronenberg just is straight faced and it's just like, you know, because the guy goes, okay, well, I'm done to leave for the day, which is forever. You know, the guy kind of just goes through the day like it's another Tuesday, like it's no big deal, but runs into people like Sandra Oh, who's trying to find a purpose for her last day. Sarah Pauly's in it. But seeing that Cronenberg cameo is great because he just plays the weirdest dude in the apocalypse. Is the guy that shows up for work and he's going to be the last guy out the door, like it matters.
All righty. Our 1981 movies. Speaking of Cronenberg, I saw Scanners.
Yes.
One of my favorite Cronenberg films. Just fantastic. You've seen Scanners, I'm sure.
I saw Scanners as a kid just because of the head blowing up scene.
Yeah. Now I read that to blow up the head, a part of the special effects they use was a leftover burgers.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Michael Ironside is just creepy as hell in that.
Oh
film.
Yeah, he's great. What was he in recently? Oh, he was in the Dropout.
Oh,
you know the movie that movie about Holmes, the blood woman. He played the big investor guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's really good. If he has a big part, or if he just has, a supporting part, he's always good. And Stephen Lack is in it. He plays kind of the main character, Cameron. And he was also in Dead Ringers.
Oh, Dead Ringers.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So he's a Cronenberg actor. Cronenberg is a type of director that collects actors. You know, he is like Del Toro. He uses them a lot, you know. Yeah. Which I think is kind of cool, you know, when that happens. I love the head explosion, but I saw that there was sequels.
But they're not Cronenberg.
No, they're not. So I'm going to go ahead and skip them. I mean, but yeah, Scanners was really the first Cronenberg film that made people kind of sit up and take notice, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great for Ironside's performance. I mean that gif of the head exploding is still used. I mean, it's used so popularly today, but I mean, I remember people using that in commercials or to promote movies and
everything.
Yeah. It was just used over and over again as movie ads on like the Movie Channel and HBO and shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably one of the most popular animated gifs, I would think, you know.
Yeah, and if you love Michael Ironside, I definitely say check out Turbo Kid. Have you ever seen Turbo Kid?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a long time ago, though.
Yeah. Well, no, Turbo Kid is, I guess it's 7 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie that's kind of about, like, it's a post-apocalyptic 1997.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's he's always good. I like that guy. Pretty good actor. Now,
what are your top Cronenberg films?
Oh, Crimes of the Century, Videodrome.
Videodrome.
Scanners. The Fly.
Yeah.
I mean, probably those, you know.
I include Existence in there because it's just the ending gets me. Where it goes at the end really gets me. And just how it's played, like it's this biological type video game that you plug into physically, you know, it's bypassing VR and all that bullshit. It's just going straight into you.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
He's made some great stuff. I'm glad and his son has made it. Have you seen his latest film?
No. What is it?
His son made a film recently. Adam Cronenberg, I believe.
I didn't know he had a son making films.
If you can look it up real quick.
Yeah.
I forget the name of the film, but it was really good. And it's Cronenberg-like, you know, real creepy. And
Possessor?
Oh, yeah. Fucking great. I think it's on Hulu. Fucking great movie, man.
Possessor is on Hulu right now, yeah.
Yeah, a great film. I think you'll really like it.
That's funny because Jennifer Jason Leigh, who's in Existence, is also in this.
Oh, yeah.
And Sean Bean. Oh, fuck, man. The visuals in it look disturbing as shit.
Oh, it's great, man. He really is a chip off the old block, you know, off the dead block or murder block.
A chip off the old flesh.
Yeah.
I think Cronenberg would have been great playing around with some Clive Barker stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Get David Cronenberg to invent some Cenobites that love to tear the flesh.
Definitely. So what did you watch for 1981? Or what film do you want to talk about?
Well, I tried really hard to get Under the Rainbow. And motherfucker, I just got so fed up and mad trying to get it. Bottom line, you could just get it on YouTube and watch it for $3. But like, I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll go. I have an account here. I'll go rent it here. And Vudu is, or I have a Roku account. But I guess Roku and Vudu have kind of tied together because it was like, you'll have to create a Vudu account if you'd like to see this movie. And I was like, fuck that. I don't want to deal with that. Like I had to, it really took a lot to try to get it together for this. And I was like, fuck it. I've seen Time Bandits. I'm going to talk about this.
Is it free on Vudu though? Oh, okay.
No, it's like $3 for a rental, $10 to buy.
Okay.
Like, I think what it is the theater or the movie companies know they made a lot of non-PC movies back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and they don't release them on Blu-ray. They may have got a DVD. Like, I know Under the Rainbow has a VHS and a DVD release, but then that's it. You can't even get, like, print on demand or anything, but they do sell them through streaming services so that if you hunt it down, you can find it. So, but it was real, like even the ones that offered, it was just Amazon, Vudu through Roku, and that was it.
Huh.
But I know okay. I've seen it on YouTube. So I just got pissed off and said, fuck it. So yeah. It was just too much to mess with. And I figured I'd talk about Time Bandits because that was my first Terry Gilliam film. I own it. I've seen it a billion times. It was one of the early modern fairy tales that I had seen that I didn't realize it was a fairy tale until I got much older and saw how the story was structured and everything. And then that was also like, you know, these were Monty Python guys, you know, in 81, I'm like 10 years old and I've already discovered Monty Python on PBS. Now I see, oh, well, like there was Holy Grail and Jabberwocky. Now they've got this one. I'm going into this movie thinking it's going to be a Monty Python movie. And then I see all these little people who are running through time and go, oh, this is different, but I love it. It was so much fun.
Yeah, that's a great film.
Did you see that as a kid or as an adult?
I saw it in the theater when it came out. Yeah, it was a great film.
Terry Gilliam is another guy who collects actors. You know, you see people in this film like Catherine Heldman, he used in Brazil. Michael Palin was in Brazil. Like he reuses them over and over again. You know, it was just the coolest thing to see this kid travel through time, have adventures. Like, and then when he goes, what's the weirdest thing is he ends up in front of a Minotaur. And Sean Connery, who puts on no different accent or anything, just kind of carries his British accent, defeats the Minotaur, takes him in as his son, and he kind of has a happy life. And then he goes to the next adventure, like the time bandits show up and take him to the next one. David Warner in this film plays the bad guy who's chasing him. That dude scared me forever after
this. Yeah, movie. Me too.
And then he just is like randomly, you know, plays bit parts in other things I've seen. And I go, oh man, he was so good in Time Bandits. Cause as a kid, I was terrified.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. It's funny how the villains you remember the most when you're a kid.
Yeah. And it got me into Terry Gilliam. Like I absolutely, like he is one of my favorite all time directors. I know of late he's been like a weird anti-COVID guy, so he's kind of nuts in the head.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I'm looking at the movies before that. Brazil, would be a movie that would change my life. That was a movie where I saw something different, and it would take decades for me to understand.
You have to be a little fucked in the head to make Brazil, though.
Yeah,
and Brazil. Amazing film, and the fact that De Niro is in that film is just incredible.
He did it for base pay. He did it for base pay just so he could be in it and play the rogue air conditioner repairman.
Yeah,
and his scenes are fantastic because he gets to, you know, they have this little miniature where he rappels in to rescue him, and he's going to save everything, and he turns it on the bad air conditioner repairman, and he fills up their suits with sewage. And he's like the hero to a guy who's just trying to get through the day and just have some air conditioning. It's just a weird scene pulled off excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. He's amazing in that. Time Bandits, great film, man.
Great film. I mean, like, it's weird to cast your full cast are dwarves or little people. And that's rarely seen except for you could say Wizard of Oz, but to get a movie like this, you had to have heavy hitters. So it's like Sean Connery, he pulls out the Monty Python people. But the real stars are the entire cast of Time Bandits, the little people.
Yeah.
Each have a distinct characteristic. They're each have their own purpose for being there. And the world he creates, the production of a Terry Gilliam film is fucking amazing from his first movie to his last. I mean, I even think about Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and go, I don't think there are many directors who could have pulled that off except Terry Gilliam.
Yeah, I agree.
But he's a director I've always loved. So I have a ton of his films in my library. I think probably I haven't gotten the last two or three films he's done, but Time Bandits is the one that started it all. I don't think many people tell modern fairy tales anymore, and that's a damn shame. All we get is Disney, and then Disney kind of recycles that nostalgia to us forever. You know, oh, did you like Lion King? You'll love live action Lion King. And Terry Gilliam, I think there was at one point, I have a book that talks about the films that Terry Gilliam never made, because one of them was Watchmen. He really wanted to make a Watchmen movie, and it has like all the details he was going to do in it. There's been talk of a Time Bandit sequel with and without Terry Gilliam.
Huh.
But yeah, I could talk about the dude forever. I think Monty Python was one of the greatest comedy influences on me. And Terry Gilliam is probably one of the most influential directors. I mean, when you look at the production of a movie, I measure that against what he would do.
Yeah, you know, speaking of Sean Connery, though, I saw Highlander.
Oh, the greatest. He plays a very non-Spanish Spaniard.
A Spanish dandy with
Spanish dandy
with a Scottish accent.
I know, and your Highlander has a broken French accent.
Yeah, crazy. I had
one of the best fucking action films of all time, dude.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in years. You know, just
I remember showing my stepson Spencer that when he was a kid, and he like when the Kurgan comes out, and he's got all those safety pins on his neck. He was just like in awe of how cool that villain was.
Yeah, a really great film.
It's better to burn out than to fade away.
So what else have you been watching this week?
Do you watch The Orville?
No.
I love The Orville, and I'm going to pitch it to you right now. Seth MacFarlane does Star Trek better than current Star Trek. And the Orville started off as a comedy sci-fi, and like it took them two seasons to figure out that's not really working, just go straight sci-fi. And so they've elevated the level of sci-fi in it. So to describe the first episode of the season, it's about a robot who is conscious and is part of a group of robots that live in space, the Krylons, but he works for whatever the Federation is. He is essentially a part of the humans, and the Krylons try to kill off the human race. They fail, the humans win, and he's still aboard the ship, and everyone kind of hates him to the point like people just, you know, but he has no feelings, we think. But so much hate on the ship drives him to commit suicide. So you have this robot that commits suicide, and the aftermath as the people deal with it on the ship. It's very weird and out there, but it's way better than the Star Trek stuff I've watched that's on Paramount.
Hmm.
It deals with a lot of high concept issues. But he didn't really figure that out until like the second season. I think they realized calling it New Horizons was, we have to take this in a different direction. We have to do something different. But it is considered their third season.
Huh.
There's only two episodes out. This season was dedicated to Norm MacDonald, who plays an alien in the show. And they do use his voice for the first two episodes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Man, I miss Norm.
Yeah, it was weird because when his character showed up and started talking, I kind of got, you know, sad feeling like, oh, this is like the last job he probably did, other than that last stand-up bit he did for Netflix. Like, this was the last voice work he did for Seth. Yeah, that was rough.
So I saw Licorice Pizza.
How is that? I've heard great things.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Shelby looked for it at the library this week when we went.
Yeah, I got it in my library. It's really good. Really good film. Man.
Cool.
So maybe I'll email it to you.
Hey, yes. Thank you, please.
Yeah. A great film. Lots of just a fun film, you know.
Yeah.
Sean Penn is great in the film, and Tom Waits is excellent.
Tom Waits is always good. Like, he's in Mystery Men, and he's fucking epic.
He's a better actor than he is a musician.
Wow. I mean, that's a hot sports opinion.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I love Waits' music, you know. I've seen Waits live, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I think he's a better, I mean, all the stuff he did with Jarmusch is just fantastic, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I also saw X.
The new T.I. horror film.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard great things. A buddy of mine has it on his Plex server. I may check it out.
Yeah, it's like a porno, people making a porno movie meets Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Good times.
Yeah.
Good times for all.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty good.
Let me tell you, I saw, did you know Alicia Silverstone was still acting?
No. She hasn't been acting since Aerosmith movie.
No, she has. She did a TV show for a while, but I saw her this movie on Hulu that they've been advertising called The Requin, which I don't know what the fuck that means. But it was just big shark movie. And so like I clicked on it for details. It said Alicia Silverstone. I'm like, I'll watch her. She's Sharon Clueless.
Yeah.
You know, she's bat. She's Batgirl. I dig her. But it's the most, like, it's one of those, this couple's gone through some hard shit, so they have to get away to this vacation, and then the vacation turns into a nightmare, where you've seen these pictures on the internet of these, like, houses that sit on water, these, like, vacations.
Now, hold on, I have a question.
Okay.
She was a Batgirl.
Yeah.
Did she have nipples in her bat suit?
Nope.
Why not?
I know. I think they gave her a camel toe instead.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes up for it.
That makes up for it. Well, so she plays a woman who has just gone through some traumatic shit. Now, I'm going to get into some real triggering shit here because this was really the most fucked up part of it. The problem with her and why she's on this vacation is she did like a home birth in a bathtub where her baby died during the birth. And so she's just sitting in a pool of blood that she keeps remembering and having to go through that memory while you're watching the movie. She'll flash back to the tub. Anytime she sees blood, it just triggers her.
Jesus.
And so she's just really trying to deal with that. And the vacation is in this resort area that have these like little houses that sit on the water. You know, you know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
And
like a pontoon house.
Well, not even floating, but like just high up on like bamboo and shit.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Okay.
It looks like something I definitely could not afford to go to do. So they stay there the first day to kind of give you the recap. And then at that night, a storm hits that picks up the building that they're in and moves it out to sea. And they realize that they're just moving away from the land. And so it's like, it's one of those survival, like, did you ever see Deep Water about the couple who got left abandoned in the water?
No.
After scuba diving? It's pretty much a lot. See, that was based on a true story. There was a couple that had gone on a ship and they went scuba diving and then the ship left them and they were left out to sea. And so the movie just takes place with just them floating in water the whole fucking time.
Jesus.
This one, they're at least inside or they're in a house that's like barely held together, just floating in water, trying to get people's attention, going through delirium, having flashbacks of the child dying, have shark attacks, all sorts of shit. I mean, it was like the action was good. Having the flashback of the birth thing was tough to have to watch over and over and over again. But the ending was so fucking bad. I just sat there, just still faced like, this is it. This is what you're going to give us to end this fucking movie. It was just really disappointing. But it was great to see Alicia Silverstone. She still got it. She was still good.
Oh, that's good. Did Aerosmith do the soundtrack?
No, but Liv Tyler did a pole dance in the middle of it.
Oh, okay.
And Liv Tyler was Steven Tyler's daughter, and she was dancing sexy in those videos. That was always weird.
Yeah, you think?
Daddy says do it sexier.
Oh boy. I saw Annihilation.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Really good film.
Yeah, that's just, it's like unsettling just going through, just walking through that world.
And Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Jennifer Jason Leigh, she's a home run.
Yeah.
She's fucking awesome.
And Natalie Portman's great in it too, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who are the other two. I know one of them is from, I hate that I can't think of her name. Tessa Thompson.
Uh-huh.
Tessa Thompson, I love her. She's good in everything.
Yeah, but I thought that was a really cool concept. For a film.
Check out, if you go online and look up some of the art that was used to do the DNA mashing, like with the bear, like there's that creature, you can see some of the real detail in some of the pre-production art they did for that film.
Yeah, and my review on Letterboxd was that Padme married Poe Dameron.
Yeah.
And Nancy, and she went in to figure out the Force with Nancy from Fast Times.
Yes. They should have gotten Phoebe Cates. They could have been a whole different kind of movie.
Yeah, that would have been pretty good. But yeah, Annihilation is pretty good. And I watched Poltergeist 2. I will not be watching Poltergeist 3.
Don't. Yeah, that's the one with Nancy Allen. That's the only one where I think Carol Ann came back. And if you look during the movie, she's really sick in that film.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a sad story because when you find out, when you read more about the actress, she's actually one of the first Generation X actors we had
that
died. She was misdiagnosed during Poltergeist 3 and died after that.
Yeah.
It's just a really sad story.
Yeah, Poltergeist 2 is pretty bad, though.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
The first one is the best. The remake, even though it has Sam Rockwell, I tell people, if you ever want to learn about film, watch the Poltergeist remake, because it shows you what happens when you make bad choices every time throughout the movie. Like every choice they tried to do something different from the original, and it's just a bad choice, and you just go, why? Because everything goes wrong in that scene. But it is one of the worst films, worst remakes I've ever seen.
And have you watched anything else?
Yes. I watched one of the worst comic book movies I've ever seen.
Oh.
It's Morbin time. We saw Morbius, and I've never seen such a waste of talent like they did with Matt Smith. Like, Matt Smith is an interesting dude because I watched him as the Doctor and didn't like him as the Doctor, but other things I've seen him in, I liked him in. Like, there was a movie I've talked about on here before where he played Charles Manson. He fucking blew me away because they shot him to make him look small. He had all the mannerisms. He had the voice. He was pulling off an American crazy man talk. But dude, in this movie, he's supposed to be a sick friend of Michael Morbius, who Morbius discovers this cure, but accidentally turns himself into a vampire. His friend discovers he has this cure, so he wants to take it. He didn't give a shit about being a vampire. He loves it. So in the middle of the movie, Matt Smith has a dance sequence.
Yes.
For no reason fucking whatsoever, and it is ridiculous as shit.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
The only thing is it's 90 minutes, so it's a quick watch if you want to see how bad it is. I say there's like a handful of good things in it. Like, I dug the fighting. Okay, there's one thing I liked in it. I dug the fighting, but everything else in that movie is bad. It's just terrible. Like, I don't even know if it's Mystery Science Theater worthy of mocking it.
I watched a Gen X movie that made me chuckle. Electric Dreams.
I love Electric Dreams. I fell in love with, that's Virginia Madsen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I fell in love with her there. I thought, oh, I could be an architect and fall in love with Virginia Madsen. I know computers.
Yeah.
But it's a jealous computer that...
I mean, it's batshit.
It's batshit. I loved it as a kid. I thought about revisiting after I saw you post it, because I was like... But then I thought, I don't want it to ruin, because I thought it was such a great memory. I remember it being a cool movie about computers and hot chicks.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it's, you know, it's very dated, you know.
Very.
How
were the computer graphics when they would show how you can build an earthquake building, proof building?
Pretty terrible. Pretty terrible. I saw the amusement park. George A. Romero.
Oh, okay. How was that?
It was pretty good. It's not. It's a horror film. Kind of based on the idea of getting old. And I believe it was made for a nonprofit organization to talk about age, helping the old people. Oh, it's like half or an hour long, and it's kind of good. It's on Shudder, I think. So it's worth watching just because it's interesting, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, no blood or gore, but kind of a meditation on aging and how the senior citizens are treated by society, you know. Oh, yeah. So kind of a cool film.
Well, before the drive-in with Joe Bob, Mystery Science Theater is back-to-back with Joe Bob. So it's hard programming because they're both live shows. And Mystery Science Theater did the Doctor Strange knockoff, Dr. Mordred.
Okay.
And it is great. It is from 1992 and looks like it was filmed in 1975. It's from Full Moon Productions. So if you know Full Moon, they do like the Trancers and Puppet Master movies and things like that. So in fact, I think this was done right, one of their first movies, because they had changed production companies during it. Oddly enough, some of the early production work on it was done by Jack Kirby from Marvel Comics. So he had helped done some workups for the beginning of this movie, and obviously didn't make it into the movie because the production quality is so bad. Like Dr. Mordred's entire suit is just blue. It's just like they had a lot of blue cloth and they just made one suit and a cape, and it just is really, really bad. He even has like a necklace, like an Eye of Agamotto that Doctor Strange has, that he has for some reason. He does control time at some point in the movie, but it's just so bad. And it's just like the girl in it has such a 90s look, so it's so hilarious. She looks like Felicity,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the old CW show. Brian Thompson plays the bad guy, who, if you know Brian Thompson, just this big monster of a fucking dude. He looks like Niedermeyer from Animal House if he did steroids.
Oh, okay.
But it's just that level of special effects. I found a video online that told a great history of it, because they didn't know what to do with this thing. They were like, well, it was going to be supernatural, but then it was like, we'll just call him Dr. Mordred, Master of the Unknown. So he's master of something. I love Jeffrey Combs. He did a lot of great horror movies like Reanimator. He's been in Star Trek, played the Andorians. He's a great dude. He's carrying this movie. He's the only one who looks kind of honestly committed to it. But if you want to see like a fun, bizarre knockoff of Doctor Strange, check this out. And there's a history of on YouTube that's worth watching, just because they talk about Jack Kirby's influence and how many times they kept trying to make this and it just kept failing until Blue Moon picked it up and ran with it.
Huh. Yeah, I need to check that out, definitely. So I finally saw The Grudge.
Yeah, and?
Pretty good film.
What'd you think?
Pretty scary.
Now, is it there's a new Grudge?
No, the one from 2004.
Oh, okay.
There may be a new Grudge. I don't know, but I had never seen it before. So.
Oh, but, Sarah Michelle Gellar. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think. I remember going to Comic-Con when she was promoting this. Oh my God. This was, Bill Pullman's in this too. Yeah. I just remember some of the effects. This was her jump to big screen. I thought she should have done more horror films.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it was a pretty good film. Definitely. I think a Japanese director is set in Japan. A lot of Japanese actors. Really good. I like the cinematography, you know.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I remember the most about it, was the look of it.
Yeah, pretty good look. Definitely a fun film.
Yeah.
I just got through watching Raze. R-A-Z-E. It has Zoe Bell in it.
Oh, the stunt woman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's badass.
Totally badass. So this group... kidnaps women and puts them in like a dungeon of like 30 women, and they have to fight each other to the death, like one-on-one.
Okay, good times.
Or they're gonna kill a loved one, like Zoe Bell's daughter or another one's mother or something. Like, it's kind of cool, you know.
It looks like it's available on Roku.
I saw it, I think, on AMC too. AMC.
Okay. Sherilyn Fenn's in this.
Yeah, it's pretty good film.
I love Doug Jones, man. Is he like in full makeup, creeped out?
No. He's not makeup at all.
No? Oh, shit.
Yeah, he's really good in this. I think you'll like that. Yeah.
Oh, pretty, man. I love him as Abe Sapien in the Hellboy movies.
Yeah. Worth a watch.
Yeah. Okay, cool. What do you think of Carl Urban?
I love him in The Boys.
Yes. The next issue podcast, my show before this, we did a ranking of all his movies. So we got to dig deep into all the different shit he's done.
Judge Dredd, pretty good.
Judge Dredd is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
My top three performances from him. I mean, The Boys is his ultimate. Like, he is fucking Billy Butcher. I've read The Boys. I've seen his performance. He is that fucking character. That character is him. Nobody quite says cunt like Carl Urban.
Yeah. Totally agree.
He was born to play Judge Dredd. And what I love is that he was a fan as a kid reading it. He was a Judge Dredd fan and a Doctor Who fan. So now that he's played Judge Dredd, I want to get a movement going for him to play Doctor Who. Because that was weird.
Yeah, that'd be pretty fun, I guess.
My second favorite performance is in Red. Did you ever see Red with Bruce Willis?
No, it's on my list, though.
Actually, I'm going to tell you something weird about Red on why you should get the DVD. Red has a DVD commentary from a real CIA agent that as you follow Bruce Willis's character, he tells you things that they do really do and don't do.
Huh.
And he's an author too. So it's like a known author, but his background was in the CIA. And in certain scenarios where Bruce Willis is put, he goes, well, actually what we would do in this situation is this or this. He talks about having extra money and fake IDs. Other than Red being a fucking badass movie, an incredible action sequence between Carl Urban and Bruce Willis, that commentary track even elevated the movie to another level. But don't see the sequel. The sequel's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I think I have the sequel, but...
The other performance is from an older movie from 2007 called Pathfinder, which is about a Viking. And it was a European movie that got made into a comic book that then got made into an American movie. And it's an early Carl Urban film.
Huh.
But totally worth checking out because it's just badass.
He's one of my favorite actors going right now, in my opinion. Hopefully, he will join the MCU.
He already is. He was in Thor.
Oh, that's right.
The guy with the machine guns. Yeah. So, yeah. Scourge.
Yeah,
Scourge is a great character for you.
I totally forgot about that. But one movie you shouldn't watch, I just finished watching it on Hulu, War Hunt.
War Hunt?
I
don't know that one.
It's bad, man.
Really? War Hunt.
Okay. It's a horror film. But the scariest thing about the whole fucking horror film is Mickey Rourke's face.
I was going to say Mickey Rourke's in it. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
No. They got Robert Knepler in it. Teabag.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just bad, you know?
Yeah. I hate when you see those show up. I have my bottom... Carl Urban films, and did you ever see Doom?
No. Oh,
The Rock and Carl Urban, what a total piece of shit.
Yeah, most video game movies are shit.
Yeah, you know, and that's like maybe one of the worst. I fucking hated that.
Yeah, I think tonight I'm going to see in a video game movie, I'm going to watch Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City.
I do want to check that out.
Yeah, I'm going to see that. So maybe it'll be good, you know. You just never know. So do you have any other films that you watch or TV shows you watch this week?
No, that was pretty much it.
All right.
A lot of Carl Urban. Dug deep into that. But my two favorite things I learned about Carl Urban was that his Bones McCoy impression was so good that it made Leonard Nimoy cry.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah.
And that when Carl Urban was making Riddick with Vin Diesel, that Vin Diesel, let me look this up before I get the names wrong. Shit, what's the sequel to Riddick? It's give me 2 seconds to look this one up because I want to get these names. It started off with Pitch Black Chronicles of Riddick, 2004. Yeah. So during breaks, Vin Diesel, Carl Urban, Thandie Newton, and Dame Judi Dench would play D&D together.
I bet that was fun.
Dame Judi Dench, you're playing a rogue dwarf. you need a throwing save. I mean, I just can't see Judi Dench designing a character in D&D. That would just be awesome.
Yeah, definitely. That's it for this week.
All right, 82.
Next week we have 1982. Some pretty good films that year. I'll just get with you and tell you which one I'm gonna pick.
I was gonna say it might be Poltergeist. That one's in there.
A good film.
Oh fuck! I'm taking Halloween 3.
Okay, you got it.
I know you're not gonna take it. No. I love that movie, and I'm going to defend it next week.
Oh, good luck.
And that's me passing on E.T., Fast Times, The Thing, 48 Hours, and Creepshow. Fuck.
I'm going to have to take Fast
Times. Blade Runner. Fuck.
I'm taking Fast Times.
Fuck, there's a Night Shift, The Toy, and Richard Pryor Live on the Sunset Strip, dude.
The Toy.
The Toy is the most inappropriate film and will not ever be remade.
I saw that fucking thing in the theater when I was a kid.
It was on cable. I watched it all the time. Oh, and the ultimate. Oh, my God. I can't. Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. Not enough people talk about this film. Just good made film. From stock footage. Yeah.
Great film.
And you another Ralph Bocci, if you want to dip your toe in it. Hey, good looking.
Yeah. So we're going to see you guys next week. And you can check us out on TikTok. I'll be putting up clips of our show from now on. If it all works out, we'll see.
I'll start wearing pants.
You wear pants? Oh, by the way, I have to go take a leak. So, you see this?
Oh, you're doing the jug.
I have to do 24 hours of peeing into one of these things.
I hope you put this video on TikTok.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
I know the jug. I've done the jug test twice because I've had 8 kidney stones, so.
So do you pee for 24 hours?
Yeah, you wake up and you don't pee.
Yeah.
And then you pee for the rest of the day, including the next morning's pee.
Yeah.
I filled the whole thing up, and then you have to seal it and shake it up because it has a sponge in it.
Uh-huh.
And then you have like 2 cylinders that are not cylinders, but like very small little containers you have to put in to mail off your pee with like a cloth.
I just take it to my doctor.
Oh, okay. They gave me like a mailing kit.
Yeah. So
don't knock the jug over.
I have 2 of these jugs just in case I fill it all the way up, you know.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because I just said I pee a lot. I need 2 jugs. And if I don't fill this one up, I'm going to be using this for water. Yeah. Yeah, I told my mom not to drink out of the jug in the fridge.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's just so weird to have to keep your pee for 24 hours around the house.
Yeah, pretty weird. So we'll see you guys next week. Expect movies from 1982. So we'll see you guys later.
See ya.